It's the Life Songs Morning Show with Josh and Nancy, and we are very honored to have joining us on the phone Mr. Mark Lee, guitarist and co-founder of Third Day. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing very good. Thanks so much for having me.
I mean, thank you for
thank you for having us.
You are a rock star. You and Mac Powell started Third Day back in 1991, so over 25 years ago. In your wildest dreams, was this ever the life you thought you would be living?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, if you go back to that time in like the early 90s, and we were, you know, we're from around Atlanta, and we're part of this Christian music scene that was going on there. And I had these friends, like bands like The Waiting and Jacob's Trouble and Small Town Poets. And I would see those guys, they would leave out on, you know, maybe a Friday, and they would drive somewhere really far off, like upstate New York, and they do, you know, they do a little show and they take up a love offering and they turn around and drive all the way back, and they'd have to go to work on Monday and they'd be just exhausted. And I'd be like, man, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And it's just funny to see like how, you know, God, you know, how his dreams for us are so much bigger, because like it took, you know, a few months to get to that point, because, you know, it's basically all you got to do is just rent you a U-Haul trailer. And they've got them, you know, just about on every corner. Rent you a little U-Haul trailer, throw some gear in the back of it, and you can drive and go wherever you want. But just that God had, you know, not just us going to places like upstate New York, but literally traveling all over the world, sharing our faith with people in so many different places. And, you know, not just make a little bit of music, but here we are. This is our 13th album. Just came out a couple months ago here. It's been amazing to see, you know, how God's dreams and plans for us are so much bigger.
Lucky number 13. Maybe you guys will finally make it.
Maybe so. Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, yeah, for the first few years of this, you know, and I think we were all this way. We're like, okay, we're going to do this for a couple years, and, you know, we'll just kind of see. And there's always this plan. You know, I had gone to school for a while, and I put that down, and I was like, you know, I guess at some point I'm going to go back to school. And then it got to be where about 20 years had gone by, and I actually did online finish school a couple of years ago. But
congratulations!
Well, thank you very much. It just turned into a thing where, okay, this is what we're doing, and you know, God's been very faithful to always, you know, we can only see like a little ways ahead on the journey, but He's always been faithful to have the whole thing mapped out. And we've just been just trusting him with all of that.
That's perfect. Well, tell us about Hurt Road. Is this a memoir?
It is a memoir. So you see a name, Hurt Road, and I think I can share this with anybody, and they go, you know what, Hurt Road, I get it. It's the pain that we all, you know, experience on the struggle of the journey of life. And that's true. It's a metaphor for that, but it's also a literal place. And I'm not giving anything away, because this happens like in the very first scene of the book, but when I was 14 years old, I was selling donuts for my church youth group, and I was set up on the side of a road called Hurt Road, selling donuts. And I go out in the intersection, and I make my first donut sale, and I'm like, man, I'm a really good salesman. And then I realized, well, donuts just kind of sell themselves. doesn't really take much. And so I turn around, and I take one step back towards the side of the road, and I look up, and there's headlights. There's a truck coming. I don't have time to get out of the way. And I get hit by the truck. And so in that moment, all of my plans that I had for myself, which did at that point in time did not include God. It was, you know, I'm 14 years old, and I'm like, man, I've got my life's all mapped out. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get this great job. I'm going to get married, and everything's going to be just smooth sailing from there. God took me off of that, you know, just that little plan that I had for myself, and put me on this other road. It was definitely harder. You know, it's not the easy road, but it was a better plan that he had for me than what I had for myself. And so the book goes from that to me starting to play guitar, and to me meeting up with Mac and starting a band in high school, and then just some of the lessons that I've learned along the way. So yeah, it's definitely a memoir for sure. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there. A lot of, hopefully, some humor. Hopefully I make you laugh, but then there's also a lot of serious stuff in there too, and hopefully some lessons that people can pick up on, lessons that took me years and years to learn. Hopefully they can read it and, you know, maybe avoid some of the missteps I made along the way.
I can't wait to read the story. It's going to be amazing. And think about this, like anytime you're in a circle of new friends going to a Bible study or something and they say, hey, introduce yourself and tell us something unique about you, you get to say, I got hit by a truck and I live to tell the tale.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's so funny because, and that was a big motivation for writing this book, is I've never really shared that story with people. You know, for all the years of doing Third Day, there was one magazine article in Guidepost for Teens back, this was in the late 90s. Yeah. Other than that, I haven't really talked about it that much. And it's always just kind of been this thing where, like, you know, I become friends with somebody, and then maybe after about a year, I'm like, now, you know, I got hit by a truck, right? And they're like, what? But, yeah, it's just something I haven't really talked about. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's just I felt like it was just such a big part of my identity when I was a teenager that once I got through all of that, it was just like, okay, I'm going to have that be in the past. But it just felt like now was the time to tell the story, share it with people, and hopefully be able to use it to encourage some others.
Very cool.
Amen. Third Day's new album, a hit song's called Revival. Are you guys experiencing a revival in your lives?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I think we maybe had one album come together. We had this one album that we knew before we went in to record it, that it was probably going to be called Come Together. Mm-hmm. But every other time we make an album, we have this batch of songs, we go in the studio and we record, and then it's like, okay, what are we going to call it? And we recorded Revival in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and which is about a four-hour drive from where we live in Atlanta. And as I was driving, this would have been last summer, 2016, and it was when all the election campaign, everything was going on, and a lot of just confusion, you know, in the country. And I passed about three churches that had that verse. I think it is it 1 Chronicles 7:14 or maybe 2 Chronicles 7:14 that basically says, like, if my people will humble themselves, then I'll heal their land. And mm-hmm. I love that prayer, you know. So it's not just a revival for us personally, but it's a prayer and an invitation for other people to join in a revival, you know, that starts with us as individuals, but then it spreads out into our families and our workplace and into the bigger community. So I love that the album ended up being called Revival, because I think that's what we all need right now. And I also love just that musically it has this kind of fun. You know, when you think about revival, you think about like these little country churches that I was passing on the way to the studio. You mm-hmm. know, you think about you're going to be at a little church and there's going to be some tambourines and some foot yeah. stomping and hand clapping going on. And, you know, you listen to the album and it sounds like that. And so I'm really proud with how everything came together on this one.
True story. Every time we play Revival, I end up doing the gopher dance from Caddyshack. And that's a really good thing.
Like it's just, that is a good thing, yeah. Totally.
That scene you just described is what goes on in the studio
every single
time,
day.
Like, except I'm not. I don't have a tambourine now. I have to get one.
We're definitely going to get you a tambourine.
Thank you.
Now you guys are going on tour with Chapman, with Stephen Curtis Chapman, and you're going to be his backup band for his performance too. So not only did you write your own new album, you had to go learn all of Stephen Curtis Chapman's back catalog. Was that challenging?
That was a little bit of a feat. I'm not going to lie to you. And, you know, Third Day's music is, listen, I can say this because I'm in the band, it's really simple. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's three chords and the truth. We take that literally. Sometimes we just have two chords. But, you know, Stephen's music it's a little bit more complex. So you take a song like Lord of the Dance, which is one of my favorites, with little guys from Georgia, the Third Day trying to figure out that stuff. It's a little complicated. It's made us go back and really have to rehearse and you know, do a lot of wood shedding, which is great. And it's been a lot of fun being able to share the stage with Stephen and, you know, be his backup band, and then also have him, you know, sit in on some Third Day favorites as well. So that's been really cool.
You're being far too modest. You guys are not only incredible award-winning musicians, but you're exceptionally talented as well. You're mm-hmm. always putting on a fantastic show. Some of my favorite concert memories are at Third Day shows, so don't...
Well, very good. That's awesome, man. That's encouraging.
Don't put yourself down. You got it going on. I have an idea for you. This is not going to make the interview, but I think that you should go, like, as Third Day, remake the Joshua Tree album from U2. Like, I think you could pick your pick of any of these, like, awesome classic rock albums and do them justice. So
that's actually not a bad idea.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
I, somebody did, I can't remember who did that, maybe Guardian or somebody, they went back and took a whole, like, Striper album from back in the day and, like, did they just recorded it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be a great idea to go take, you know, an album that we're a big fan. Of course, you know, being from Georgia, we'd probably do, like, a Lynyrd Skynyrd album or something
and
record it. Which, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That'd be a lot of fun.
We're in. We'll be buying it.
You're bored one day and you just want to make a quick extra couple million dollars. There you go.
I'll file that one away. That's a good idea.
All right, so we're gonna switch gears a little bit. We got Mark Lee here from Third Day. He's got the new book out called Hurt Road. The new album is Revival. And we're going to put you through what we call the Life Songs Lightning Round, which is just a quick Q&A session where we give you rapid-fire questions, and you have to go with your gut and answer as quickly as possible. Cool?
So now, and I'm just giving you like a one- or two-word answer. I'm not explaining anything.
You know,
right? I'm
just, if you feel like you need to explain it, then you should definitely try to. But
okay.
Yeah, go as fast as you can. You cool?
Fast as I can. Oh, yeah, let's go. This will be fun.
We're going to start easy. You're a Georgia boy. There's only one right answer to this. Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, Coke. Goodness.
Exactly. I've been to the World of Coke Museum like 8 times.
And I love how you can do the tasting at the end. And they have like, there's some things that are really good. There'll be like this drink from like Israel that tastes like bubble gum. And then there'll be this other thing from like Canada that tastes like somebody threw up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
So
I've had that
fun.
One. Yeah, it's gross. All right, beach or mountains?
Oh, mountains all the way.
Vinyl, CD, or MP3?
I am embarrassed to say this, but MP3 is easier.
Yeah, it's simple, you know? That's okay. Mexican or Chinese?
Oh, gosh. Gotta go Mexican. I love me some cheese dip.
It's all about the queso. Xbox, PlayStation, or Nintendo?
Oh, gosh. I gotta go Nintendo. I'm old school, man. I'm Mario Brothers all the way.
Favorite book of the Bible?
Ooh, I'm going to say Hebrews. I love just how the Old Testament and New Testament stories are kind of tied together in that one.
Okay. Favorite superhero?
Aquaman. Not even going to explain.
Like, you almost have to. Aquaman?
Okay, so when I was a kid, they used to have a show called The Super Friends. It's like a cartoon, and it had Superman and Wonder Woman, and Aquaman had a pretty prominent role in that. So when I was like 5, 6 years old, I thought Aquaman was like kind of equal on the level of Superman. I didn't really think it through that, like, you know, if you're out of the water, Aquaman is kind of toast, you know. But if, you know, you get in the water and he can kind of hold his own. But I think Superman would still supersede with his superness even if they were underwater. But, you know, Aquaman, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah. I just feel like there's probably limited end of the world scenarios where you need somebody who can control a fleet of tuna.
Yeah, I think you're right. Or how about in that same show, they had the little Wonder Twins.
Oh,
they would have the powers, and then the girl could turn into like an animal, and the boy could turn into like a bucket of water. That's what I feel like. If I ever was a superhero, I would be able to like turn into the bucket of water. That would be like all I'd be good for. But, you know, we can talk about that on the next interview.
It's all good. So what are your top 3 movies?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to say Lord of the Rings. I mean, I love it, and specifically the first one, just like the first about 30 minutes of that first Lord of the Rings, like my favorite cinematic anything ever. Just so good with all the CGI stuff and the story. Just love it. Then I'm going to say number 2, I'm going to say The Truman Show.
Good pick.
I don't know why, but it was just a movie that I watched at this. I was probably in my 20s and just at this, like, you know, trying to figure everything out. And just that movie just hit me in like just this right time. So I'm going to say that as number 2. And then, oh gosh, I don't even know. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say this because my daughter is a huge Star Wars fan.
Right.
I'm going to say Star Wars at number 3. And I a lot of people, all about, you know, the New Hope and the Empire Strikes Back. But I really like the new one that they did, The Force Awakens, and even the Rogue One. I like what they've been doing in the last new ones. So,
man of the people, Mark. Man of the people.
That's right.
Worst Third Day song.
Like the one that you hate playing in concert.
Which one are you so over?
What's funny is like we didn't, I don't know, I think we played this one live a little bit, but there was this song called Sing Praises that we did on the Come Together album that, it's a fun kind of little song. And we, you know, we're trying to do like this Paul Simon, like Graceland, where it has this, sounds like this world music kind of deal. And it's a good song, but it would just get lodged in my brain and I could not stop thinking about it. So, and which is, it's fine when, you know, you're hanging out, driving around at like 3 in the afternoon, but at 3 in the morning,
oh,
you're
yeah.
trying to sleep and you have that sing praises, da, 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 sing praises, and you can't get it out of your head. not so good. So yeah, I'd say that would be the one.
Okay, so this will be the last question. What is the most awkward story you have of being asked for an autograph?
Okay, well, there's two. It's funny. There's two, and they both happen in the, at the same meet and greet signing. We were at a little college in Tennessee years ago. We had this girl, God bless her, she came through the signing, and she had like a artificial arm. And we've had people sign all kinds of things. But she, like, actually took her arm off and handed it to the first guy in the line and had us pass her arm down the line.
No
and sign
way.
It. And something about that just felt very wrong, and I was very upset about that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, I mean, we're still, like, kind of just stunned from that one. Then this kid comes through the line with a Ritz cracker and hands it to the first guy in the line. And we're like, "What are you giving this to us to eat?" He said, "No, no, I want you to sign it."
No.
He gets to the first guy in the line. He signs a Ritz cracker. Everybody passes it down the line. And then it gets to the end, and the guy gets his cracker back, and he eats it right there in front of all of us. I mean, what do you do with that? You know, do we need to give him, like, a couple of Tums to take for the indigestion he's going to have? I mean, I don't even know. It was very bizarre.
So this was an accredited college in Tennessee?
You know what? I'm not even going to say the name of it because anybody that's there at that fine little school now would not want to be associated with
wow
the shenanigans that was going on there back in the day.
Good times.
Wow.
Mark, thank you for carving out some time to hang with us. Love that you've got the new album Revival out. The song is killer and cannot wait to read Hurt Road. Congratulations on all of this.
All right. Yeah, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys having me. It was a total blast.